I didn't get that memo. Oh, maybe I did.
This is I Want to Open Up a Clinic in South America, Dr. Tar.
This is Professor, what he said, Feather.
This is the Midnight, I'm the Troll, Gadfly.
And this is Dr. Head. And you are experiencing...
And that intro music was Silo Dump, called Droid Bird in the Snowstorm.
Oh, Droid Bird.
Oh, Droid Bird. All right.
Oh, sorry. Tonight's episode that we bring you is a throwback. This surprises me because I thought I didn't realize it was 1993 that we watched this thing when it was on. I thought it was later than that, but not. Anyway, this is such a freaky movie anyway. Speaking of, it's called Freaked. It's just a fun movie that I remember from when we saw it from the video store. I think Sue probably had it. We watched it or whatever. But it's just, how do I describe this? Like a crumb host of other, you know, just special effects, crazy stuff from the 90s, early 90s. It was just, someone gave him like money and they made this movie like on a fever dream. It was just, yeah. I don't know how else to describe it. The story revolves around Alex Winter as Ricky, what's his last name? Ricky.
What's Ricky? Bo? I don't know.
Ricky. Yeah, well, whatever. But everybody screams when they hear it.
Yeah.
He's a child actor. He's a child actor. Now he's just a sleazy whatever for money. Anyway, some toxic fertilizer company is hiring him as a spokesman to go down to their factory or research facility in Venezuela. And they even have their research chemists come out and talk to him. And immediately, and then this movie just goes, how do I describe this? I'm just let this loose to you guys because it's just, I love the movie, but
it's bonkers.
It is bonkers.
Just a couple of fun facts. They totally tricked the studio into giving them as much money as they were getting to make this whole thing, right?
Of course
they did. And they had gotten this, they were confident they could do it because they were, Alex Winter and his partner were making all those short films for MTV. Kind of like some of them look like what the intro to this. So the intro to this movie is awesome. You know what I mean? Graphics and stuff. It's all practical.
Did you know how they did that?
How?
That's not a computer or anything like that.
I know it's practical.
It's animated. They call it strata animation, where they just cut a fine layer off and just, I thought that was just, incredible.
That was incredible. And then the fact that it supposedly has the most practical effects of any other film, like it's got more.
That's cool.
I think it's important to say it was Screaming Mad George that came up with this,
Steve Johnson.
Yeah, look at the list of special effects people. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I would describe it as Crumb meets Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of the guy before that, who's the 50s artist that drew all the weird
I don't know.
Basil Wolverton.
Oh.
That guy, you know, drawing all the freaky, pimply. Yeah, anyway, it reminds me of that too. Just that, yeah, that weirdo's look that they, you know, from the 60s and all that stuff, that the bug-eyed garbage pail kid looking.
Yeah, garbage pail kid too, yeah.
It feels like a straight to video 80s movie, like you see on VHS. That's what it feels like, and that's what I love so much about it. And the creatures are amazing, especially the eye creatures. I was so impressed, like, wow, those look awesome. And just the kind of gross special effects all throughout, I thought were really fun. And Randy Quaid, he just takes it. You know, he just leans into that crazy persona.
Playing
so,
crazy.
So well. But it's so good. And the cameos, the other people, Mr. T. I'm like, oh my God, Mr. T. You know, it was just so great.
When he's doing his little skit, little, you know, that's.
Yeah.
Because the thing of it is, he does it so naturally. There's no artifact when he's doing it, you know, giving that to the girl, the demonstration thing, you know. Yeah. And I'm going, that's fucking brilliant. He's not putting over the top or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just fucking that's the most natural thing in the whole movie. Think about it.
Mm-hmm. No, but
it's how freaky that is. That's the most normal thing in this whole movie, you know.
Did you know
this
who is a movie? The dog, I agree. Boy?
This a movie is, we watched it in probably 93 or 94 when it came out. And, you know, this is, I'll be honest, if I had not seen this movie back then, I'd have probably pretty much just dismissed it watching it this time, you know, because I'm going, okay. But it has a context for me, unfortunately, or fortunately. So I was able to enjoy it way much more than if it was just a movie I'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. and knew where it came from, you know, like you were talking, the whole MTV, it, just all of that going on, you know. And this movie was part of the experience that we were having as movie watchers, Tar, you know, and all of everybody.
That's true.
You know, at the
that's
time,
about
you know,
the time you had
the discovering everything yeah. on, yeah, yeah. But and this was part of that. But and so when I watched it this time, I enjoyed it a lot, you know, and I just don't think I would have. I think, I was biased.
No, you're right, because you see so much of it.
It's got some of this worst fucking jokes in the world,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, hit or miss.
And just some of the stuff is just so, like the main guy, you know, Tommy Two Tunes, whatever the fuck his name is, the kid, or the child actor, when he's got the makeup on, you know, he's got the prosthetic. But he talks exactly perfectly. there's no distortion. There's no Elephant Man going on here, you know. Which I thought was kind of, you know, annoying. But I thought it would have been better if he'd had a thing. But you know,
no, they're making the whole thing that he gives the Hamlet.
Well, yeah,
thing,
yeah.
And it's just,
well, the story and behind
drooling though. I thought, come on, he has to earn some points for that.
Yeah, the story behind that was when they first put that on the prosthetic on, they had to do things with his mouth in order to get those teeth where they were. And he goes, as soon as he started to try to talk, that hook cut right into his cheek. And so they had to stop right there, and they're like, we're just going to dub everything. And so that's why you look at it and it just doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
So he says, plus you couldn't understand a word I was saying, you know, with all those prosthetics in there. But I thought that was, that's funny.
Well, it reminds me of the grotesqueness of Basket Case. You know, and again, straight to video schlock that I loved those movies, Basket Case.
And by the third one,
this is part and parcel to Basket Case,
yeah, exactly. And then it's also Freaks, you know, the movie Freaks. It's kind of that's definitely it's in its DNA. We see that. I love the circus carnival esque sideshow of it, the ludicrousness of it, the whole business. Oh, we're gonna make these freaks, and you know, I thought they really leaned into the comedy. I mean, it was as silly and cheesy as it was, it works for the movie because the tone is pretty good. Not everything lands, of course. I mean, some of it's like, oh, okay. But it was better than I expected it to be because I'd never heard of it before.
You'd never, okay.
No. Go, and go I would have I probably would have really liked it then too, for its silliness. So I was really pleasantly surprised. I'm like, oh wow, this is kind of fun, because you know, usually I get it, I'll watch it, I'll get rid of it, but like, no, I think I'm going to keep this because I think I want to revisit this movie down the road because it was kind of fun. Yeah,
they had a lot of weird stuff coming out about. Everybody was trying their stuff.
It was early 90s. It was like the resurgence, you know, the indie film market, because now they could put stuff out on VHS. They could make movies a little cheaper, and they didn't have to worry about a studio necessarily. You know, they could do these kind of productions. I think that's why we saw a lot of this more experimental kind of movies. And people with a little bit of money can do something. I mean, I don't know how much this movie cost to make, but they put it all into the effects. And getting like Randy Quaid on board. I mean, the script must have been like, I want to know what he went through, like when he read the script, like, oh yeah, I want to do that part. Or did they know these people? Like, I don't know anything about it, but I can see him like looking at it and go, okay, you're the carnival barker at a freak show. And he's like, I'm in. I mean, that's the elevator pitch. I'm like, yes, I'll do that.
John Hawks.
Or, huh?
John Hawks, the cowboy.
The cowboy. Yeah. The dog boy was Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves, yeah.
He got paid $1 million to be on there. And then he'd even do, they had to have Johnny Knoxville come in and do a couple of stand-ins because he was unavailable at some point. So there, I was reading on, what was it on? Anyway, Johnny Knoxville's image is on the movie poster. It's not, but yeah, it's funny. Cause
who was dog boy? Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves, yeah. He made a key, an appearance.
That's hilarious.
I know, like all these people coming in on this. Well,
and Cowboy was John Hawks, but I love the fact that Cowboy has udders.
Yes. Like, yeah, those scenes where they go to the gross out like route. Like Peter Jackson, like reminding you, like Dead Alive or Bad Taste, you know, they use these effects and they're kind of gross. Like, and then for the humor, they're, you know, milking them. I'm like, oh, you know, like, oh man.
That explains that blue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, or like, well, or like, or the, you know, the main guy, like when he reacts, like you see like stuff shoot out of him, like spurt, you know.
Yeah.
You know, coming out of him. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, okay.
I love it.
That just makes it extra special.
It's a special makeup specials, you know, effects guy's wet dream.
Yeah.
You know.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Literally. It's very wet, but.
Yes. It is.
Yes.
But it's like, even, you know, like in the 50s when they made those, like Mad Magazine made those, you know, those grotesque looking people spurting pimples.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just translated to that. And it's just, yeah.
You'll see that in SpongeBob too, when they show up a close up of like SpongeBob or Patrick, you know, like their face or Squidward's face, and it's all these like pustules and boils and nose and hairs and
it's imperfection totally, you can buy.
Yeah, exactly. No, I thought there's a silliness to it that they lean into, and I think that's part of the humor. Like some of the horror movies, like Basket Case, it's in that lineage when. They get funnier as they go, because you can't maintain the horror with something so ludicrous. You've got a half brother in a basket. I'm like, Jesus fuck, you know. Like,
well, you probably could have done a lot better, but anyway.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, Basket Case is pretty bad. I mean, it's a terrible movie. But they get worse as they go along.
Terribly good.
I want it to be good. You know.
Can I tell you, I found a Basket Case Christmas ornament you could get. It's like him coming out of the basket.
Oh,
it's like,
nice.
Well, here's something this will blow your mind. The MoMA owns an original print of Basket Case.
Really? Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Yeah.
Well, it was a bet.
Well, and what's funny is that Basket Case, you know, because it was so bad, there was that one scene where he gets out and does stuff to the sister. Apparently, the stuff he wanted to do, the crew walked out on him. Was it Hendon Lauder or whatever it was? So
they just you got to feel up her boob. That's about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But what else did he do? Didn't he do some actually kind of
Frankenhooker?
Which is
okay, Frankenhooker. Yeah, another really kind of horror comedy.
Yeah.
And then again.
Oh, very. it was so goofy that it's just
like Blood Diner. I mean, there's a lot of that in the late '80s. You know, the street, you know, Blood Diner was essentially Blood Feast. You know, another reversion of Blood Feast. Mm-hmm. I remember watching it with my cousin. I was showing to him, because there's a scene where they're making it out with the girls and they're like rubbing the batter all over them, and then like the one follower, they put like dip her head like in the oil, and it comes out and it's like a giant hush puppy in the fryer. Yeah, it's like this is like giant hush puppy on her head. I'm like, oh my god, it's, you know, just really ridiculous.
Oh, shit.
But with Freaks or Freaked, I thought it was, it reminded me of what is it, Dr. Otto and what's it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah.
The middle of the gloom beam, yeah. Except yeah. It had a budget, you know.
Yeah.
But I loved what I loved what they did with no budget, just like I loved what they did with a huge budget.
They had some money.
They had mainstream movie money, and people kept wanting to see stuff, and they would show them bits and pieces. But they made the movie way away from Hollywood, so nobody hardly ever came to visit this because they were right in the middle of nowhere.
Because they wouldn't have let that. What was that? That huge Randy Quaid head?
Yeah.
In the middle of the comp.
Yeah. Which is great.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, no, it is. It's awesome.
And that the eyeballs were the things that came out and, you know, were keeping people in line.
Yeah, I love the eyeballs the most. Right. Yeah. Those I thought were just so good. I'm like, the irises, you know, the pupils, you know, dilate. And I'm like, oh, my God, that is awesome. And then during the big fight, you know, like how they just take the eyeballs away because they got those guns. He's like, just picks up a handful of dirt, dust, and here's some sand in your eye. I'm like, oh, come on. Oh, that's, yes, that's it. That's it. You have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite part of the whole movie is the troll. That part with that kid is hilarious, where they find him in the compartment and then he goes out there. It's just ridiculous. My favorite is when he's going to the different places to try to give him a story and they keep throwing him through the window. And, yeah. And the last one goes, oh, that's good. We'll do it. I'll let you out. And he goes, no, I'll show myself out.
And he dies. I know the way out, he says.
I know the way out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and just the way he lands like a sack of potatoes.
And whoever they had playing the little troll guy.
And yeah, he's great.
Oh, my God.
Well, because you can see the big ears. He's got those giant Dumbo ears, you know?
And the buck teeth.
And the buck teeth, yeah.
And the buck teeth, yeah.
And the glasses.
And red hair. And red hair.
And red hair.
He's like the...
Alfred E. Newman.
You know, Alfred E. Newman. Yes. And like the every boy, like, newspaper... Like, you know, toss her out, or like kind of the dead end kid, you know, kind of like, hey, Mister, shine your shoes for $5, you know, for a quarter. You might see, you know, in Spider Noir, there's a character like that. I don't know if you guys watched that at all. Yeah. But there's a little kid who works with Ben Reilly, and he's kind of got that.
It's a lot like Wally Wood in Mad Magazine, you know, when he's doing his drawings and doing that kind of a distorted comical look, which I love, but
well, how much did this movie cost? If they paid Keanu Reeves $1 million, they said they got real Boomy Bunny. How much did they get to make it?
I don't know.
$734 million,
and they spent about 12. Nice.
32 cents.
Yeah,
good for them.
In 1993, $12 million.
Okay. Was it released straight to video? Was it put out in the theaters?
It was in the theater. It was a box office bomb because it ultimately grossed just under $30 million during its limited theatrical run.
Well, 30 is better than I thought it would do. Honestly,
yeah.
No, it was the theatrical
run.
Yeah.
I wonder how much they recouped in the after sales.
Well, it says despite financial loss, it has since achieved status as a cult classic. The problem is that I have not seen this anywhere, like where you can buy a DVD or any of that kind of stuff. So it's like been kind of out of sight, out of mind. I've never seen it before until Tar kept saying, I wish it was available. I wish it was available. And then I saw it. I'm like, well, here's the one you've been wanting to do.
It's curious because I saw it when it came out and I was going to do it too. That was going to be my suggestion.
Yeah.
And so you did it. So, you know. I said, no, that's fine. That's fine. Because I've got a fucking plethora of stuff to do, you know?
That's fun. I don't care how you look at it. It's just, even looking at it from a technical, just practical, and then just the goofiness, like Mel Brooks type goofiness going on through it, you know? Just,
That I can definitely see.
Randy Quaid cracks me up in this movie, though. He's just, yeah, his he look, plays the ultimate evil scientist to me. He's just great.
Yeah, it looks like General Custer.
Yeah, it's good
to see. He's kind of got that look without the hat, you know, the long hair and the wild eyes. You know, it's like Cousin Eddie makes a freak, you know? I mean, that's he's tapping into that same Cousin Eddie vibe, but more manic. And, yeah, he's really fun. And I like when he has the little model of his, like, his world, his freak world, and he's like, okay, I want to show you something mind-blowing, so spectacular, yes. So amazing, and he pulls up, it's just a bigger scale, the exact same thing. Yeah, it's like the same model but triple the size.
Humor, like, oh, but it's
okay.
That is Mel Brooks humor. Right,
yes,
there.
Yeah, it is and it works for this. It works, it really does.
It's satire, you know. The whole movie, like, I go back to you talking about the intro of, they're sitting, you know, the corporation is giving their spiel, and what's his name? Bill Sadler?
Yeah, William Sadler.
Yeah.
William Sadler, who's the head, you know, and he says, what do you think, to the rest of the member? And you see them all raising their hands, and you see the strings, and then it cuts back to him with the lever. I mean, that right there, you go, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, they should have layered
in Bella Lugosi. Pull these strings.
That was brilliant too at the beginning in that same scene when they bring in the guy from South America or whatever, and he says, "See, he's perfectly fine." And every time they cut back until they get to Deepak Chopra,
when he gets angry, he gets smaller.
Yes, that was great.
It's great because everybody's just treating it like it's normal, you
right,
know.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Nonplus, or like when they're unloading the board out of the truck, like on that lift, and like the one guy falls off. You know, like, no one makes a deal. He just like tumbles off, and like, you know, I'm like, oh, okay.
What in that same corporate scene? They do the little slideshow or whatever, the card show, and they first go $1 million, and he's like, oh, I don't know, and he turns out it's $5 million, and he's like, and you see them about to reach to pull it off for more money, and he goes, sold. And they're like, oh.
This movie was fun.
Brooke Shields.
Yes. Yeah, Brooke Shields. What a surprise to see Brooke Shields. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Brooke Shields is here. And my first thought was like, okay, I can see how you get Randy Quaid to be in this movie, because, you know, He's gonna do something kooky. It makes sense. But like, and Mr. T, I can see him leaning into something fun because he's probably hadn't acted for a decade. But then
I had read Brooke Shields. I'm like,
how? Like the cast members, like, how do you get these three people together, you know, for the movie? And then she's playing that talk show host. It's so indicative of the kind of the terrible, you know, the talk show hosts, where she says something and the audience all responds in unison, oh, you know, or clapping. And it was just. It's just ridiculous.
And the whole thing, he shot in silhouette.
Oh, yeah.
Until you find out that...
Spoiler alert.
And it's just...
because it's perfectly done. You know, they're keeping him in the shadow. And then because this mutation looks like that. When you see him, like, oh, okay, that's really cool. All right, and like one more joke. We're going to get one more joke at the end. And here he is. He's back to the normal.
Brooke Shields is the ultimate bad guy at the end.
Yeah. Do you know anything about how these people were kind of wrangled into doing the movie? I mean, because it's...
They all have a connection. Pete Barbeauty is all their connection, and he got them all together. That's... You can take that statement.
And Pete Barbeauty...
To the bank. It's closed today, but you can take it there.
For it.
Yeah.
I think it was the pull of... Winners, because Winners had done a bunch of film stuff. Like, he was pretty heavily into the industry and knew a lot of people. I've
seen him stuff in Film Threat in the back,
he had tons of short films and stuff like that. He went to school to be a filmmaker and just did the acting to fund his short films, you know. So he would do like Bill and Ted or whatever. Yeah, he did The Lost Boys, you know. But he would make all these different films, Yeah, he's pretty cool. I didn't realize how much he has done over the years. He used to do tons of music videos.
He does a lot of writing now, doesn't he?
I know he's written.
Oh, I saw him recently where he's tunes. I don't know what he's doing, but
yeah, I think Freaks was really good. I was really enjoying it. So.
Very enjoyable. Very, nostalgic. kind of movie. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, I'm so glad you chose this. I never would even, I had no idea it even existed. And
me either.
I started watching them and I'm like, freaked, okay. And I wanted to make sure I found the right Fright One, and I kind of read the quick synopsis. I'm like, oh, this is going to be bonkers. And I started watching it, and I was so delighted with it. Like, wow, okay, it was better than I was expecting it to be, you know?
Perfect.
It was great. And I was laughing. I'm like, oh, this is okay. This is good. And I was so impressed with all the effects. It was like, holy cats, I can see where their money is going into.
It is pretty overwhelming.
Even as outrageous as some of it is. But yeah, then the whole scenes, you know, the big fight scene at the end, again, really ridiculous stuff when the kid grows really big and just ridiculous, you know, fighting. Like, oh, okay, that's really good. Mr. T is awesome, you know.
Oh, Bobcat Goldthwait.
Then the villains end up as that Pee Wee.
Oh, right, yeah.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I was waiting to see if anybody's going to mention. Yeah, Sockhead. I thought Dr. Head, you're going to love this character for two reasons.
That's right. I love when they pull the sock off. It's like, it's just a hand, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and I like when he gets killed.
Go back to it's a fake.
Yeah, but when he gets killed, he falls on the mic. It rips his sock off, and he's dying, and he's spitting out blood.
Right, it's like they get the joke. They take it. Awesome. They take it all the way to the end. Every joke is like just taken. I'm like, that to me, that's what elevated.
We should have done that with Sokko. Goddamn it.
That's what elevated it to me. It's like they were going, okay, he's gonna. Yeah, they elevated it right because taking the joke to its nth degree, pushing that envelope, every joke all the way through. I'm like, okay, this is dedication. And it was really
fun. When he's dying, all three hands gotta like flip them up.
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah, I like the cow, dog boy, and I was spelled like D-A, what was it? It's not D-O-G, it was like D-A-W or D-A-W-G.
Yeah, dog.
Dog boy.
Dog.
Right. Yeah.
I love when he first shows up, the two friends
are put together, you know, yes. they're two-headed. And like, he keeps like wanting to take a look at her, like, because she's got her like shirt half off. He's like, hey, she keeps on smacking him, you know?
You know, when we saw that, at the time, they actually had figures, action figures or whatever. I think you guys sold them at one point. But anyway, they had characters from this movie that were
action figure characters, like toys?
Characters, toys. I didn't think of it any at the time, but yeah, they did.
From Freaks?
I remember that one specifically because, yeah, that's probably pretty rare right now. If you found that one where the guy and the girl kind of like sewed together or whatever they are. But
yeah, when those twins put together, I love the scene towards the end where the guy goes and she goes, dude, she goes, I hate it when you do that.
I hate it when you do that.
Yeah, it's just full of little stuff. I love the outhouse, the extra dimensional outhouse.
Yes,
yeah, they're on eBay. You can get them on eBay.
Nice.
Well, that's awesome.
That's interesting. I never knew that. I mean, I probably did, but, you know.
And there's the price.
I probably dismissed it. Oh,
yeah. That's the whole set, right?
The movie's making a ton of money now. Oh, that's hilarious. Three figures. But they're like 9 inches tall. That's great.
I also love the ending when they all come out normal, except the Mr. Worm or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Who would have loved Mr. Worm? Who would
have known? I don't like macadamia nuts.
Macaroons.
Macaroons.
Oh, that's hilarious. They even have a cow and there's a whole bunch of
them. That was gonna be my this is Professor, would you wipe my ass?
I forgot about that.
I really like that scene and it looks so stupid, but when he's tunneling
you can see them all.
It's just cool.
That's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I like the tunneling. Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
oh, that's great.
When they get to the one part and break out the wall and they say, we found the lost city. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
And like, they've really gone sideways now. And then it flips. And I'm like, oh, somebody's watching a slideshow or something.
Yeah.
So then they continue.
I know. What was that? Anyway.
It's something that if I had a producer, that would have been gone in the edit. You know what I mean? Like, they'd have just been like hacking a bunch of that shit out. But yeah, kudos to them for getting, you know, getting that much money and getting that made.
What did the studio think?
Oh, like, they were horrified. I think they were even debating as to whether to do a theatrical release, but I think they had it in their contract that it had to have a theatrical release. So I think that's why they did it. I don't know. This is all apocrypha. A lot of it does come from Alex Winters because he's on a lot of the Into Darkness documentaries.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, and because he talks about all these movies. He's really very, very intelligent, and, you know, he's great to listen to talk. But he talks about this movie and how it was that, and he goes, all we did was leverage all of our cachet from making all this stuff for MTV. And MTV was so popular, and all this stuff that we were doing was so popular, they're just like, yeah, what do you want to do? Like, we want to do this. And
that's,
he goes,
awesome.
But
that's,
I think,
so cool.
I think they did the bait and switch, though. I think they gave them a version of it that they went off to nowhere and then just started, you know.
I love movies like this. To me, this is way more successful than like Basket Case and those other, you know, a lot of the Full Moon stuff. So although some of the Full Moon stuff is good, but it's,
yeah.
I see someone who just has the passion, who wants to make something really fun, and then the getting everyone to join you, to like see the same vision and to participate in it, and to lean into it and just have fun with it. That's what I really love about these movies, because it looks like everyone is having a good time. You know, like even the worm guy and that crazy outfit, that worm guy. He's like still just like leaning into it and having fun. Like everybody was enjoying it. Randy Quaid's performance is just wonderful, you know, in this. And like that's what just resonated with me, you know, as we've all made movies and been doing movie stuff. When people are having fun, you can tell. It makes the whole experience more entertaining and enjoyable. And that's what I love about this. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Pinhead singing is revolutionary. Oh. It's proto Angine de Poitin.
Or what was that? American Horror Story?
Yeah.
Angine de Pinhead. Pin-tween, yeah. One tween.
Yeah.
Angine de Schlitzy.
So I would say the Basket Case that's closest to this in terms of like the way the creatures are made up is Basket Case 3. Isn't that the one where they have all the creatures and stuff like that?
And Goofy like that.
Yeah, yeah, they're all on a school bus. So they have like a, you know, bus where they all get on. Yeah, I remember renting that because I was renting everything in the world, you know, at the time. And because there was all this glut stuff to watch. I'm like, you know, and I was just devouring all of it. And even the bad ones, I'm like, Basket Case 3 was just, it was so bad. You know?
Yeah. I know, I kind of liked it.
I did too. I enjoyed it.
I may like it now. I mean, I'll have to go back. I mean, I was more looking for the horror. By the time I got to the movie, it was so bonkers. No, I might appreciate it now for leaning into the humor, that in a way that I didn't appreciate.
I mean, it was just,
I saw it in 1989 or 90 or whatever it first came out. You know, yeah, because there were so many of those. Like, and then Full Moon does all this stuff, like Head of the Family, which if you see the cover art of the artwork, it's just this chair and this giant head, you know, this little tiny body, like a giant head. I'm like, I saw that, I'm like, I've got to watch that. I mean,
I don't,
I
like Full
to.
Moon, but that one makes me laugh.
Castle Freak, you know, it's all kinds of stuff that they do. It's just, you know, really kind of silly. But that's the spirit, the same kind of
Hideous.
Spirit.
Have you seen
Hideous?
Hideous?
Yeah, yeah, all those.
I love
Heather. You would appreciate that. You know, it's like all these eccentrics going to try to bid on these little bottled freaks that they've recovered from the drainage system or whatever, the city filtration system, but they're all like in these jars, but they somehow are still alive, and there's one that I
Charles
it's fucked. Charles, no, it's Charles Band though.
Yeah, well, he's a fetish for small things.
Because it's you or Charles Bandes?
Charles Bandes.
Yeah, well, he moved to
Cleveland.
He's in the Cleveland area, Charles Band.
Mm-hmm.
Because I reached out to him. I was trying to get a hold of him to bring him on the show.
And he held my hand.
Never responded, but that's okay. I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's cool.
He seems like somebody you have to keep going after. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like, Full Moon still makes movies. I mean, he's still actively producing movies and So, I mean, those movies don't cost a lot of money, but they make money. They're straight to video market. And I have no idea what that market is like now because, you know,
he helped,
this comedian is dead, but he must be able to stream it somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
He
yeah.
did help finance that David Allen. I bought that movie because I like the idea of David Allen. And anyway, support David Allen died and he was making that movie, Primeval. But anyway, he picked that back up and finished up the animation of the movie and re-released it. And it was like, man, it was a big thing anyway. So I thought it was kind of cool. Movie's terrible, but yeah, but it was fun. The animation's cool. I like that a lot, but it's Charles Band.
But I, you know, again, we go back to these practical effects, which I think that's what gave it a lot of charm. You know what I mean? If this had been computer animated, we'd have probably been much more critical of a lot of stuff. Plus, we just wouldn't have the actors behind them and stuff like that. But I love this. Like you were talking about Head of the Family, the head in Head of the Family is nowhere near that big. They did complete forced perspective with everything, and then they had that guy. They had some guy operating the tongue when it came out and stuff. So just everything on the
artwork draws you in.
I liked how his little hands were like up here on the wheelchair.
I
liked the image of it. It made me laugh.
That's how Charles Band got his movies financed. Is he'd do artwork. He'd have an idea and he'd do artwork, and then he'd go to the film festivals and he'd get investors to sign up for him, especially foreign market like German and all that stuff.
Nicholson and Arkoff.
Yeah, and then he'd come back and he'd hire somebody to write a script in 2 days, and then or he would and he'd help or whatever, and then they'd shoot it, and then for nothing.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Didn't Nicholson and Arkoff do that though too? Kind of like, here's a title.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people.
Give me a story.
Yeah. That's not a new technique. There's a lot of the old B-movie people were doing that stuff too. Yeah. They would go to the theaters, the drive-ins and stuff like that. So, anything else about Freaked? Freak adjacent?
Freak.
Fun movie.
I'm
trying to think like what. If a movie like that, if there would be room for that kind of movie today, like someone decided to make that movie today, like if would there be other than like the Full Moon, who would be making those kinds of indie kind of ridiculous movies?
Michel Gondry. Everything he does is practical effects. I don't think he used any computer generated anything. If you look at Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, or even what is it? What's the one where they have to sweed all the tapes because the tapes are erased in the video store? So the whole community goes out and starts reenacting all the films.
Oh right, right. Oh yes, yes.
What was that?
I can't remember what it was called. Be Kind, Rewind.
Yeah, Be Kind, Rewind.
Yeah.
Well, there's that scene where Jack Black gets magnetized and he's walking down and he gets in front of that fence, and you just see him go wham, and that's like that's all just in camera opticals or that kind of stuff, and it looks great. It's amazing. Have you ever seen Lucas with the Lid Off? He does this thing that's on one stage that's got all these monitors and mirrors and stuff, and the camera moves around and there's all these trap doors that people have to go through to get set up and all that kind of stuff. So when you watch it, you're like, how the fuck did they do this? And the camera turns sideways and it does all kinds of crazy stuff, and it's all one continuous take. He planned it, and there's no optics or any of that stuff. The only optics were they had stuff projected on the walls real time that they were filming. So, but yeah, Lucas with the Lid Off. Let me see if I can find it.
Cool. I'm glad this movie has kind of gotten this occult following. I like that. I would certainly watch it again. I'd certainly share it with people who have a similar mindset, and say, if you want to watch something kind of kooky, because that was a really special, growing up in that VHS era, that still feels very nostalgic for me, very, very close, because it was a glut of entertainment that started off with all the schlock. And then by the time, we knew one another, Professor Feather, like we were watching, we would look for those movies that were really interesting and weird and the psychotronic stuff and bizarre stuff. But that was all the indie cinema, the indie straight to, straight to video kind of things, movies that were done. And people were like pushing the boundaries because they knew they didn't have to worry about trying to compete with movies in a theater. And I think knowing that there was so much, there was interesting content out there or stuff that you could look at, and it wasn't that much of an investment, it made you want to do it more. You know, like you, if you stop, you could stop it if you want, you could rewind it, you could do all those things that was great about VHS. And I think that's what made it part of, like, me or all of us, I think, willing to look for things that we maybe not wouldn't have seen otherwise, because it was, oh, it's for a buck, of course I'm gonna take a chance for a dollar or two to rent this movie and watch it. Yeah. You know,
yeah. And you know, in also in association with, you know, like magazines like Cinefex, and you know, those that where you, yeah, oh, look at this movie, now you're able to actually see the movie. You know, go to your, and you know, we had a great, in Bowling Green, we had a great place because the owner of the what was it called, Video Spectrum, Sue, you know, she, you could go in and say, what about this movie? Okay, she would get it for you and put it on her shelves, you know, because she figured, you know, she was a champion of that. And I think because it was a college town, so you know, you're going to get people that are a little more experimental, and you know, maybe look at it, although you know, we are talking conservative Bowling Green. Yeah, but anyway, so
she's probably thinking, I already have 12 freaks I know that'll rent this movie as well.
Yes, exactly.
Because that dude, yeah, will talk to all of them.
Knew all of them by name. Yeah, absolutely
right. And that'll pretty much pay for the cost of the getting the putting exactly in the store. Exactly. Right. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, great though. But yes, we were able to see so much, you know, through that, and it was a transition time, you know, because that was, you know, like we have to look at the consumer electronics at the time, you know. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, almost anybody could make a movie. You know, it became that egalitarian,
whether they should or not.
Cool. Whether they should or not, absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
But you know, that you, it's, you know, the separating the wheat from the chaff.
Exactly. Whether they should or not. Cyclops. yeah, no, exactly. And that's, it was kind of this like free for all.
Yeah.
You know, and the more that that was out there, the more you could take a chance on, the more I kind of wanted to take a chance on. And when you had video stores like Video, you know, like the Spectrum, and being willing to put in stuff, whether it was anime or Godzilla or these psychotronic films,
yeah,
that just made it all the better, because then it made the whole store better. There was so much more to see, and like interesting picks. You know, it wasn't like just safe stuff. I mean, that's what their bread and butter. But then they knew, yeah, you're in a college town, you're going to have people who want to watch some crazy shit. Let's give them the crazy shit to watch. You know? Yeah.
Yes, I'm.
No, yeah, I absolutely agree. As I said, kudos to, you know, the whole store. It was seminal in our education of moviedom.
It was a great store. Is that where you got reflecting skin?
I guess. We looked, yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a bizarre movie.
Begotten?
Oh, my God. But saying that, that movie, it really, it just, for what it, yeah. Have you ever seen it?
I haven't seen it. Is it available anywhere?
Oh, I don't know.
I meant to look it up and forgot about it. Because I'd like to revisit it. I'd like to see
it's just,
again.
It's what it implies. It's not what it. It's just so. Yeah.
Yeah. It was made by what's his name that did Shadow of the Vampire, Mirage.
Yeah.
I think he did Begotten too.
Yeah. He had something. There was some kind of connection between the two. But I remember seeing that one. Don't you remember? We saw it together.
Yeah.
The very first time, before we knew anything about him or what it was, yeah, it just was standalone. Film Threat. I think we probably
talked about it. Yeah. Well, we watched it for the first time at your place, and your wife and my wife were present, and it didn't go over too well.
No. Thank God it was kind of a short movie, but
yeah. If you guys haven't seen it, you gotta look it up. Begotten.
It looks like it's free on YouTube.
Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't even think about YouTube. Fuck.
Yeah, Mrs. Dr. Head wasn't too crazy about the Greasy Strangler.
I wasn't the first.
I said, I gotta watch this fucked up movie for a show. And I'm like, man, alive. What? I go, this is just crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I don't think I like it.
Living
like,
life and loving it.
I didn't like it the first time I saw it either. I was I was just like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. But well, then afterwards, that music, that music just kept going through my head, and I looked up. I'm like, can I get the soundtrack to this? Because that is just crazy little ditty.
I really like the movie. The movie
I do too. Yeah. And the second time I watched it, I'm like, oh, okay. But
you kind of get it. It's not one. I don't know if I'll ever go back and see it again. Maybe. I mean, I gotta watch Shakespeare the Clown first. So, yeah, maybe if I'm in the right mindset.
I put the link for Lucas with the Lid Off in the chat. So
I clicked on it. And I watched like the first few seconds. I thought, oh, is this a link to Mikey? I'm like, oh, because it hit this very well in black and white. Yep. I'm like, oh, no, it's not Mikey.
Yeah. I think the song's pretty catchy too. But yeah, it's an amazing feat of filmmaking, you know, just how it's all put together, cinematography. Sorry for talking over you guys. I forgot to mute.
Moot. Moo. Cowboy.
Mute.
All right. Well, anything else regarding Freaked or?
It's worth a watch.
Yes,
definitely.
Watch it.
Yeah. I'm glad it was out there. I'm glad I found it on the old sites out there and got a chance to check it out. I'm like, oh, okay, this is enjoyable. I'm gonna keep it.
You're a freak, a super freak.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely worth it. I mean, you put this in a lineup. If you're having like a film festival, like just a kooky film festival, I would want to put this right in there. You know, I think
a kooky film festival.
Yeah, I think so. I think it would work like at a horror con. I think it'd be really fun to show. It'd be definitely work at Cinema Wasteland. Rest in peace. You know, it's just totally bonkers. And this would be a midnight movie. I think this could work well as a midnight movie, you know.
Apparently it does.
I can see people going out, you know. I mean, it's never going to get the success like Rocky Horror, but I could certainly see those people want to go out.
It was somewhere and I just happened to see it and I was just like, brings back fun memories. Let's do that one. So
yeah, definitely better than I expected it to be. I was so pleasantly delighted. Like, I'm
surprised. Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say.
You have been experiencing.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
.com.
Come on over.
Enough said. Tarnfeather.com. Oh no, wait a minute. Tarn Feathers on YouTube. Psycho Cinema. Go there.
.com.
See some of the stuff. .com. .com.
.com and Grizz. And Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the YouTube. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the Facebook. Spontag Lewis, one word, at Instagram. We Freaks.
We Freaks.
FREEKZ, family friendly web comic on Facebook, written, drawn, in love by our dear, wonderful friend, John Boyce, aka Blue Fez.
He would have liked Freaks.
Oh, yes. I think I would love to see his take, his drawings of the freak characters. I think that he would have incorporated, maybe brought them in to his to his Wii Freaks.
That'd be funny.
Or just turn those characters into Wii, you know, versions. Yeah. No. Dr. Tar, I want you to draw the eyes. I want an eye.
Russia.
Yeah, those eyes are so cool. Those are great.
Damn your eyes!
And the Midnight Gadfly has started a new self-help group. It's called Brute Force Cuddle. You give me money, and I tell you to go figure it out your fucking self.
Squeeze a pillow.
But I do it while I'm hugging, so it's all good.
That's tough love. T-U-F-F-L-U-V.
Because the pillow is made out of your left.
Trademark.
Any complaints, send your emails to jerry@trick.com. That's jerry@trick.com.
At what?
Geriatric.com.
Oh.
It's actually jerry@trick123.com because I didn't get there in time.
Motherfucker.